Isn't that going to change what I ask for? Well, I know it has for me. In some pleasant ways and in some unpleasant ways. Like the prayers for somebody that were really not for that person. They were all about me. But I've had Jesus urge me to ask him for a blessing that he wanted to give me. But I felt too unworthy to even ask. So he said, well, hey, we're good. Have I told you anything that needs to be straightened out and you ignored me? Well, we're good. Go for it. Talk to me about it. Ask me. But John 15:7, doesn't that change a lot? Every time I hear people talk about the Mark thing and the Matthew 21 thing where it says, you know, just believe, you know, that you can have it. And I always want to say John 15:7, 1 John 5:14-15, read those verses. Because it's all about God's will being done. It's about his input. Of course he has the power. That was the point Jesus was trying to make to Peter. Power is not a problem. No matter what the difficulty. But the power isn't in my prayer or my technique. The power's in God. And there's more than enough of that. Bill and I are always joking with each other whenever Jesus says this phrase, as he does in verse 23, I tell you the truth. We're always saying, it's like Jesus saying, now I'm not lying to you like I always do. This time, I'm telling the truth. And of course, it makes you laugh. He goes, he never lies to us. Of course he's telling us the truth. Why should he even have to say that? Because we don't believe what he says, do we? I could give you a list. It would be too embarrassing. I could give you a list of all the things that when I prayed, they were left off the list. Because I thought, okay, God isn't interested in that, or he can't do it, but I know this person, God, you'll never get through to them. You know, those kinds of things. God, there's too much money. Too impossible. And all of that is because I didn't know him very well. Therefore, verse 24 says, or the reason I'm telling you this, the Amplified Bible says, whatever, that's a pretty non-exclusive word, whatever you ask for in prayer. Did you notice that little three-letter word that's really important in there? The word ask. The English word prayer, in its etymology, if you go to the root of the word prayer, it's a request. So how did we get so off that I hear people demanding? And of course, their prayer, their faith is very commended because look at how positive their prayer is because they're demanding that God do this. And I'm going to go, wow, that's backwards. That makes God your butler. Prayer's a request. I know you've heard me say this before. I'm not the originator of it, but it's a good thing to remember is that God mostly answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, which is our favorite. No, which is our least favorite. And not now. Or wait. For me, when God says no, for years I thought he wasn't answering my prayer. I've heard people say this. God doesn't answer prayer. And I say, well, why do you say that? Well, I asked him to do something and it didn't happen. I said, well, he did answer your prayer. He just said no. Did you think that God only answers prayer when he says yes? That's a misunderstanding. Whenever I insist that God does my will, I don't know what I'm asking. Years ago, when my sister, oldest little sister was 5, my brother was 6, and I was 7, My grandma took us to the Ben Franklin store and there in Idaho. Ben Franklin is like a dollar store, kind of, you know, cheap stuff. She took us in, and we're standing at the door. She said, "Now, Bobby, Greggy, Connie, put your hands in your pockets. Grandma has to do some stuff, and when we're finished, if you're good and you keep your hands in your pockets," she said that about three times. That's still hard for me to do, keep my mitts off of things. She said, "If you keep your hands in your pockets, you can each have a treat of your choosing." So as soon as she finished that, we split up because I wanted to find the cool stuff before my brother and sister did. So I'm way off in this corner and there. My sisters immediately went for the dolls, and my brother was back looking at the toy guns. And I walked down this aisle, and I've always been a sucker for smell. I came back to this section of candles, and there was this big red candle that smelled exactly like strawberries. So I had my hands dutifully in my pocket. And the more I smelled that strawberry, that strawberry candle, I thought, man, I wonder what that tastes like. And I bent over and I took a big bite out of that strawberry false advertising candle. It didn't taste anything like strawberries. So here's the problem. In the big mirror at the end of that aisle, the store manager had been watching me the whole time. So when my sister got her doll and my brother got his machine gun squirt gun, guess what I got? I got a big fake strawberry, didn't taste anything like it smelled, candle with a big bite taken out of it. Perfect gift for a 7-year-old boy. God has reminded me of that many, many, many times. Many times he said, "Son, trust me, you don't want this. Oh, it smells so good. Trust me. It's not what you think. You're not getting what you think you're getting." And of course, I've not listened to him a lot of times. And I've been heavily and severely disappointed. What if I'd have just listened to my father? That's why I think 1 John 5:14 and 15 and John 5:15-7 are so important in my prayer life. Do I even care about what his will is? Do I trust that he has good taste? Do I trust that if he says no, that's a good answer? Well, of course, the more I know him, the more I will trust him, right? I heard a faith teacher one time on the radio say that it was a cop-out to pray to God, "Your will be done." That if you had real faith, you could, and of course he quoted the scripture from Mark, and he said you could tell God what to do and God would do it. And I thought, well, been there, done that, doesn't work, and when it does work, it turns out to not be what I want. So I'm going to run it by my Heavenly Father before I start insisting. I've got 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. Let's look at verse 25. Boy, there were a lot of fallen faces when I read that thing about when you're praying. If you have anything against somebody, forgive them. First thing we need to notice, and I've said this before, I'm going to keep repeating it, because it hung me up for years. This person that God was asking me to forgive, I didn't forgive because I thought it was an emotion. But it's not. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Say that to yourself. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice that I make to remand this situation to a higher court. Let me read what it says in the Amplified Bible in verse 25. "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop and let them go." is convicting and sobering when you realize that he says, and of course he said this many other times, didn't he? In the Lord's Prayer, he said it. Forgive us our debts to you, our sins, our trespasses, in exactly the same way we forgive others. Do you know anybody that has the courage to pray that? To be honest with you, I don't want God to forgive me exactly the way I forgive other people. Thank God he doesn't. He gives me grace and mercy. But he said, if you want to learn how to pray, like the disciples had asked him, he said, this is the way that you should be thinking. You should be thinking, Lord, I want you to forgive me exactly the way I forgive everybody else. So what would that do? Wouldn't I drop grudges like a hot potato instead of nursing them? If it was about feelings, it could never happen. Like I said, it took over 30 years for me to forgive this one person. But part of what enabled me to do it was I realized I don't have to feel anything. I don't have to like them. I don't have to say what they did was okay. All I have to do is turn loose of it and let it go and let God deal with it. And the minute I did that, I was free. I had to do it about 100 times before it became a habit that when the thought of this person came to my mind, I automatically let it go. And it does feel like you're letting people get away with it. That's not the way God looks at it. One of the reasons that we don't see God doing what we've asked him to do is, first of all, we've limited him by just our thinking about him. Oh, God, you'll never reach this person. Oh, God, that's too much money. Oh, God, this disease. Here's what the doctor says. You know, whatever category we put it in, we've made it bigger than him. So we don't ask at all. We don't fully trust and lean our weight upon his power to do it. Or we stop praying because I must not be doing it right. It's not about your prayer. It's not about your technique. It's about him. It's about his power. It's about his will being done. Or if you come from another background, it's all about God being your butler. He loves us so much, he is not going to give us something that's not the best thing. That means he's not going to take away things sometimes that I want him to take away, if them remaining would mean a better thing for me. And he isn't going to give me whatever I want just because I want it. I don't even want everything that I want a lot of times later. I said, what was I thinking? So filter it through your Heavenly Father. Keep short accounts, verse 25 is basically saying. You're going to draw close. By the way, verse 26, which is not in my NIV, but it is in my study Bible notes, and it's in other times when Jesus has said this, it says, if you do not forgive, well, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and your shortcomings. What do you suppose that would be? Lots of reasons, but one that I can think of is I cannot fully experience being completely set free from my sins as long as I'm holding something against somebody else in my heart. It's too easy to believe the lie that God's holding that against me, and it's because I'm holding something against somebody else. You know what I mean? Keep short accounts. That'll keep me in harmony with God. I don't think it's a coincidence that verse 25 and 26 are here in the context of asking and trusting and leaning upon him. If I take John 15:7 about his words abiding in me, constant fellowship with him, hearing what he has to say about every given situation in any given time. And I take 1 John 5:14 and 15 about asking according to his will. Then I have to include verse 25 and verse 26 in my thinking about prayer, don't I? What if that logjam that you're feeling about God's blessing not flowing in your life, what if it's as simple of a thing as verse 25? What if that's all it is? What if God is asking you to do something and you're saying no, can't do it? God's commands are God's enablings. Andrew Murray says, means God never asked me to do something, he will not enable me to do it. If forgiveness is not emotion, it's a choice. I just choose to let it go. I choose to let God deal with it. He doesn't have to give me progress reports. I don't have to see any visible evidence of repentance even. Didn't God forgive all of us before we repented? We accessed and received the forgiveness when we repented, but Jesus died for us and the work of forgiveness was accomplished before we ever repented. Why am I going to require something of other people that God didn't require of me? The relationship may not be right until there's repentance, but forgiveness can happen because that's on my part. My part is I'm just going to let it go. God, I'm giving it to you. Help me because I'm going to have to do it a couple of hundred more times. Every time I see them or every time I think about them, that's bringing us in alignment with his wishes. So, however non-linear this was, those are not my words. So look at what he says. Apply it to your heart. Maybe God isn't involved in providing what it is that you need simply because you haven't asked him. And maybe the reason you haven't asked him is because to you it's all about your prayer. And it's not. It's about him. Maybe you're trying to get him to be your butler and he's your dad and he loves you too much to give you the thing that you're asking for. And you're not really wanting his will to be done. You're wanting your will to be done. Maybe, hold this thought, please. Maybe he is answering. You just haven't seen it yet. This is especially true of people. I know a couple of you know your story. I know that you were, to the people that were praying for you, you look like you were the farthest away from their prayer being answered 5 minutes before your heart changed. They just didn't know what was going on. Please listen to me. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's heart either. God may be answering and working. I have noticed that sometimes the stuff that he does looks exactly backwards of the way I would do it. And then later, when I realized that was the way he was going to do it, I'm thinking, God, how brilliant you were. Thank you for not listening to my suggestions and just doing it your way. So, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I know some people have never heard this before, this stuff. So look at the scripture. See what God's word has to say. If you find it saying something different than that, then blow off what I've said. But often there's today in this country of, you know, faith is about getting your will done. And that whole mindset or certain things are out of God's reach and you just have to live with it. In the age of that, let's look at what Jesus said. Look at what God's word says and stand on that and believe that and live that. You watch and you'll see. He's always capable of more than I give him credit for. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. And it's right when I say that, I have to apologize for not believing you a lot of the time. I apologize for having qualifiers myself. Things I don't ask for because I think it's too hard. or I don't deserve it. Or times when I'm so self-centered, it's all about me. It's not about your will at all. It's not about the people I'm even praying for. So, Lord, we lay our hearts before you in humility. We pray that we would pray correctly and properly and in accordance with your will, and that we'd have the faith of a five-year-old that simply does not run all the calculations through human experience and the laws of physics or economics, but simply believes what you say and stand on it. Let us be like that. We expect great things. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I can't wait to see the impossible hard hearts that you're going to soften. We know you can, because here we are. So, Lord, we cast our cares upon you. I pray the things we need to remember about this will be brought to our remembrance, because we leak and we're distractible. It's all about you. It's all about you. Bless our fellowship today, Lord. May we build one another up in our conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.